Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 793. It's the 6th of June 2017. On the podcast today, I have Lincoln Moore, Executive Director of Decathlon, that's DKL, and Lincoln goes over some of the highlights from their final results for 2016 and suggests there's more growth to come in 2017. Also on the podcast, CEO Geo Andredi and Non-Executive Director Marilyn Orcherton of Wide Sales Group talk about the launch of Sell Plan in the UK, which is set to generate revenue for the company. Plus, I also have today's suggested one for your watch list. Haven't done this feature for a while because I wasn't getting notifications, so I thought you hadn't been submitting any, but you had. I do apologise. So this goes back to, I think, submitted a few weeks back, and it's Dragonfly Investments, DRG is ticker there, submitted by Alexius. Now, everything you hear here is just information. It's not intended as investment advice, but it's a cracking way to start your research if the submission is very good, and it is from Alexius. So I'll go through the reasons why Alexius reckons you should put this company on your watch list in a bit. I also have today's top five most followed companies on Vox Markets and the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Lincoln Moore, Executive Director of Decathlon. That's DKL ticker. Lincoln, thanks for joining me.
Hello, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've had your final results out for the year, so we'll go into that in a bit, some of the highlights from that and what you've achieved in the last year. But before we do that, Lincoln, as always, for people listening not quite aware of what you do as Decathlon, give them a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please.
Justin, we're a palm oil producer based in Côte d'Ivoire. We operate a significant palm oil extraction mill, one of the largest in West Africa. We deal with thousands of small farmers who provide probably at this stage about 90% of the feedstock to the mill, together with around about 2,000, just under 2,000 hectares of our estate, which are maturing and starting to produce more fruit for the mill. We're in our third consecutive year of production, revenue and profit growth, and in a good position now to expand.
Yeah, okay, well, let's go through some of these results and some of the highlights of what you've achieved this year, if possible, please, Lincoln.
Yeah, of course. Seems so long ago now, looking back to December. But we had I guess the main drivers for the growth in 2016 was a 10% increase in CPO sales volumes. That was done against a palm oil price environment which was slightly weaker than 2015, but the additional production together with the commencement of our kernel crushing plant, which produced additional new sales from palm kernel oil and kernel cake, drove revenue growth of around about 13.7%. We saw some growth in our gross margin percentage, which was up 22.2%, really mainly due to the new high value products, the palm kernel and the kernel cake, and relatively good stable prices for our raw product. In terms of what that meant in EBITDA, we grew EBITDA by 10.8%, so slightly lower than the growth for gross margin. We had some rebalancing of fixed costs. Back end of the years, we had some compulsory wage changes locally, which come in from time to time. So one-off increase in local wages. We introduced a health package for staff, which we thought was really quite important in terms of maintaining the high-quality staff that we have. But still, again, 11% growth in EBITDA was strong. And net profit after tax was around about 12 times up on the previous year. By that growth in EBITDA, but also importantly, through the course of 2016, we got a significant amount of all that debt refinanced on much better terms. So we saw our interest financing costs come down from around about 2.8 million down to 2 million. That was due to the refinance, as I said, together with the conversion of some capital notes, which had notional interest in previous years. So the first real year of net profit after tax for the company. You know, that's really the headline results, I guess. Digging a little deeper, really a tale of two halves, where we had relatively strong production in the first half and very poor pricing. We averaged around about 540 euros in the first half, whereas actually the international price was more over 600. And really that was driven by a real stoppage in the flow of our production right in the middle of the high season due to the issues that time in Nigeria, where it stopped the flow of product sales to Nigeria, which meant we had to sell product and move it on at lower than market prices. So it's probably cost us, looking back, probably a mean of EBITDA in relation to that issue. The second half of the year we saw an increase in the prices and very, very poor production during the low season. It was a very unusually low season, particularly Q4. So, we weren't able to take advantage of rising prices as we expected to. So really those two issues together will be nice, as is the case this year, with the price being stronger in a high production period, because no doubt, the majority of our profit comes in the first half, and then perhaps in July, August, if we have stock at half year end, and the second half of the year is obviously lower production and treading water a little bit more. But all in all, if we said at the start of the year we're going to do double digit sales, production, gross margin, EBITDA, and that growth in net profit after tax, we've been pretty pleased with it. I think ourselves and guys that follow us quite closely know that the opportunity is much bigger, and we obviously aiming to improve again in 2017.
Yeah, well, like you said, you've had good growth there in 2016, and even with a couple of issues you just mentioned there. So, and also, like you just said, this is going back now, and when you release financial results, you realise they're 6 months out of date. So I suppose investors now are thinking, okay, how about 2017 and the outlook? What's that looking like, Lincoln?
Yeah, we obviously we're working in a much better palm oil price environment than 2016. We put our Q1 numbers out, and really the highlight was really that sales prices are up over 35%, which is the main driver of revenue growth, and clearly should be a good strong period of profitability. We're seeing prices drop off a little bit. They're still relatively strong compared to last year, but we saw prices in May come back to the high $600 mark, and I think it's picked up again in May, which it's back to sort of $720-$730. We analyst Candace have taken a relatively cautious approach on pricing and reduced the price forecast for the year, which is we'll pull back our numbers a bit, but we clearly have operated through our first half of the year of much better prices than the average price for first half last year, which I think was 540 euros. So clearly we're 150, or seems to be 150 euros above that this year. We did some initiatives in terms of the empty fruit bunch press to increase or to improve the prevailing extraction rate. And I think one which is going to hold us in good stead was increasing our storage by 3,000 tonnes, which allows us to ride out the local price pressures in the highest end of the season, which tend to be a situation where local prices can dip below international prices as there's a huge volume of stock in the market. So we, having that extra storage is going to be quite crucial to maximising our prices, and really hopefully is a message to the market that we've clearly looked at what happened last year and making sure that we don't repeat the same issues, even if they're I guess external factors that we manage them better in the following year. So it does appear as if we're going to have revenue growth and profit growth again in 2017. I guess we'll wait to revenue numbers come out normally early July, which will sort of firm up where we're at for the first half of the year. We announced our first dividend, so we'll probably in the next few days release the AGM documentation, which will set out the timeline to the payment of the dividend and the AGM. And I think probably important to mention as well that we'll have the first full year of the full benefits of our refinance. As I said, we had interest costs in 2015 of around about 2.8 million, came down for 2016 to 2 million, and we think our interest costs this year should sit around the 1.3, 1.4 million, so clearly going to get a boost from that aspect as well. So the core business is still in growth phase, and we've made a few little noises that we're obviously keen to get on with it in terms of our expansion plan. Now we're comfortable with our base business, and we're looking at opportunities in Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire.
Marvellous. Lincoln, it seems to be progressing very well there. And so people listening right now, if they're interested but not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
I think we've got a body of evidence or body of work over the last 3 years, which has shown consistent growth in all key performance indicators. I think it's understandable in 2016 that we could have done better if not for some prevailing external factors. And I think we're certainly working to a better pricing environment in 2017 and with a much better balance sheet position. So we're fully confident we're going to grow all our KPIs again through 2017. We obviously, people would have seen that we had to make an announcement that we are looking at an asset in Ghana. And I think that shows that what we've been saying over the last probably 6 to 9 months is that we're getting close to a position that we can comfortably look to expand. So we have an opportunity potentially, hoping we can progress it. We're working on it very closely to progress an opportunity in Ghana, and I think we'll have some news shortly. We'll look at progressing our third project, or if we get Ghana, our third project in Guitry in Cote d'Ivoire as well. So we have a growing body of assets, and we have a growing body of cash flow positive outcomes from Project One to support the sensible funding of those projects. Plenty of organic growth and expansion growth to come. And I think business in the third, fourth year still going through the immature phase where there's little swings and roundabouts and ups and downs. But if you take it over a 12-month period over the last 3 years, we've been clearly growing in a linear fashion, and we expect that to continue.
Excellent. Lincoln, thanks for that. And hopefully, like you said, news could be out very soon. We'll speak again very soon, hopefully. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. Pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jayo Andredi, CEO, and Marilyn Ochaton, non-executive director of Wide Sales Group. That's WDC. Guys, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Justin. Thank you for asking me.
Marilyn.
Now, we've got an RNS out today. Hi there, Marilyn. We've got an RNS release today, and we'll get to that in a bit. But before we get into that, Jayo, can you just explain for people not aware of Wide Sales Group what you're all about, please?
Well, Wide Sales Group, we are a worldwide provider of stem cell services, and we have developed a groundbreaking insurance to cover the costs associated with stem cell treatments with global coverage. Because basically today there are around 3 million people globally that have already paid around £2,000 to store their baby's umbilical cord blood to protect their families against blood diseases and disorders that can appear in the future. So their companies called stem cell banks store the baby's umbilical cord blood for periods of up to 30 years. The problem is that they pay to store the stem cells, but they do not have an insurance to cover for the costs associated with stem cell treatments, which can be up to £300,000. So it's very expensive procedure. And we have developed now this insurance plan and which is our plan, which resolves this big problem. But we also have our own research and stem cell processing facility based at the University of Manchester. And we also have a facility in Brazil, in São Paulo, already operating, where we are also freezing babies' umbilical cord bloods. And we have an education and training division, which is a wide academy, where we are looking to become the stem cell thought leaders in, well, thought leaders in stem cell technology, because it's all great having this technology, but the world needs to know.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so today's update was regarding the cell plan. So can you give us, you know, a brief outline of cell plan and what it intends to achieve, please, Zhao?
Yeah, so the main point is that we are now launching cell plan in the UK. It's the first market that will see the light of, that cell plan will see the day of light. And so we've been in product development for almost 3 years with cell plan. So it's very exciting for us to see the product now becoming available in the UK first, but with a quick rollout plan to other markets in Europe and also outside Europe, in Latin America, Asia, and Oceania as well. So the main aspects here are that we were pursuing a license from the Portuguese regulator for cell plan, because this subsidiary is based in Portugal. It was a decision we made long ago to be able to tap into the European markets, and this in light of the all the Brexit thing that happened. So we made this decision so that it wouldn't affect our model moving forward. But we also received our passport rights to start selling insurance in the UK last week. So this means that we have now everything lined up to start offering offering the product to the market. And basically what this means is that there are tens of thousands of people in the UK that have already stored their baby's umbilical cord bloods. They do not have an insurance to cover the costs associated with stem cell treatments, and we are now making cell plan available. We have a model which we call the reseller model, where we form a collaboration with existing cord blood banks where these stem cell samples are stored or frozen. And then they will refer their clients over to cell plan, and we offer the and we'll sell the insurance to their clients. But we are also announcing a new model today that is extending the provider network. So not only are we going to offer cell plan to cord blood banks that work with us and meet our most our stringent quality criteria, we are also going to start offering this to families that have stored their baby's umbilical cord blood in other cord blood banks that also meet this quality criteria but are not currently working in collaboration with us because they have not yet become Cell Plan XL members, which is our quality program. This means we have more potential to sell even more cell plan in the UK. It's a model we are going to adopt in other markets as well. And it's a great solution that we are now bringing to the market.
Okay, good stuff. And so what is this, the receipt of this license, what does it mean for Wide Cells as a group?
Well, it just means that we are now leaving that more junior state where we were in research of development of our products. Now this means that we start generating revenues this month. So it's a huge milestone for us to receive this license, to have the product ready, and to be able to now start to generate revenues and reinvest that into even further growth.
Yeah, okay. And so you got your first reseller agreement about to kick off. You've also announced a new route to market. Can you tell us a bit more about that, please, Joe?
Yeah, so this new route to market is just really extending the provider network. So let's see, with our current agreement with BioVault, which is one of the most accredited corporate banks in Europe, what happens is they are introducing and referring the product directly to their clients. And not only to clients that have already stored their stem cells, but to expecting parents who are now facing the decision of storing their stem cells with them. So, and cell plan is a unique differentiation aspect for their product offering. But there are also tens of thousands unserved families in the UK that have already stored their baby's umbilical cord bloods and do not have an insurance for treatments. And what Cell Plan will now be doing, will be also offering this product to these other families that do not have an insurance, as long as the cord blood bank where they stored their baby's umbilical cord blood meets all quality standards. And if that happens, they are able now to take on the insurance and be fully protected for the future.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Marilyn. And Marilyn, it's got to be said, if no one knows about you, but you implemented this kind of model with DenPlan back in the 80s, which sort of revolutionized the sort of dental industry. And, you know, what do you think, can this have the same effect for the stem cell industry? How do you think this model would drive sales for Cell Plan?
Oh, it's absolutely splendid, because all these thousands of people have stored their cells, and maybe had them stored for several years. They last for a long time. They can last over 25 years. And they read in the paper that it's expensive now to, you know, it's difficult to maybe transplant them, to get, you know, pay for the cost of getting proper transplants than in, you know, Glasgow or something. And this insurance covers the cost of people taking out their people to other and you know, they can relax and know all that paid for, and they'll be able to actually use cells to the best advantage. And although there's a lot of more and more things that they can use, the stems have already got stored for to help, you know, if they get some serious disease. So it's really a great thing. I'm sure all these thousands of people will be taking away, because it's not too expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And where do you hope to see Cell Plan in the next, say, 6 to 18 months, Joe?
Well, Cell Plan is effectively revolutionizing the whole healthcare industry, and we have to really be aware about the impact that Cell Plan brings to the market. The stem cell industry is worth around $100 billion today. It's expected almost to double in the next 6 to 7 years. There's a lot of clinical trials. There's a lot of great research, especially on regenerative medicine, going on. We are looking into that to be able to include those treatments in the future in our Cell Plan policy. But in the meantime, in these next 6 to 18 months, we are focused on the most immediate problems that exist in the marketplace. I mentioned there are thousands of people in the UK that have already stored the stem cells. But more importantly than that is, when we look into a global scale, there's already 3 million people that paid around £2,000 to store their baby's umbilical cord blood. These are people that understand the benefits of having their baby stem cells stored to protect the members of the family in the future, and siblings and parents. Because with an umbilical cord blood sample, unlike a bone marrow transplant, we don't need a 100% match. And we normally found anywhere between 25 to 50% match within the closest family members. And that's what we need, is around 25 to 50% match to have a successful cord blood transplant. So this means that we are bringing a solution to the market that solves a problem, which is not being able to find a bone marrow donor. But if the family pays to store their baby's umbilical cord blood and take out the insurance, they will be able to have the benefit of using this great technology in the future. And the other point is, the stem cell industry is growing really, really fast. There are new treatments becoming available every year. And so no patient can count, even in a country where the national healthcare system is really well developed, because if there is a new cell therapy available, let's say in Japan or in the US, and it's still not adopted in the UK, if the patient needs to access that treatment, let's say at the MD Anderson in the US or the Mayo Clinic, they will need to have a private health insurance to do it. And the same thing will happen even inside the UK, where there are problems on funding second stem cell transplants and so on. So Cell Plan covers all of that, up to 1 million euros in Europe, $1 million outside Europe. And where we can see really the company in the next six to 18 months, and perhaps more in 18 months, is having cell plan covering families in different locations of the world, expanding really quickly, and looking into developing other insurance coverages as well for other stem cell treatments, not only for cord blood. And that's really our mission, which is to make stem cell treatments accessible and affordable globally.
Marvelous. Well, Joe, I was going to ask you to give us three reasons why someone should follow you there, but I think you did it expertly there with that last answer. So, Joe, it's good to chat to you and you, Marilyn, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. It is Dragonfly Investments. Ticker there is DRG, and it's been submitted by Alexius. Don't forget, it's just information, not investment advice. So, what does the company do? Company is now regarded as an AIM Rule 15 cash shell and accordingly must announce a reverse takeover or seek readmission as an investing company within 12 months. What's the company's current share price, market cap, and shares in issue? Share price is 0.925p. That makes the market cap at 1.57 million with 169 million shares in issue. What revenue and profit loss does the company generate? Not applicable, as this is a cash shell. How much cash or debt does the company have? On May the 8th, they raised £500,000 before expenses by way of placing at a price of 0.5 pence per share. List three reasons why you think someone should add this company to their watch list. Number one, the largest investor, is Palemis Investments. David Stienepries is behind Palemis. David brought lithium asset into the company called Codal Minerals last year, K-O-D, Codal. Share price has increased around about 2,000%. I think that's from low to high, but it's still up a lot. So expecting similar performance in DRG as well. Reason two, low market cap, low shares in issue, debt-free cash shell. Reason three, AIM-listed shell. There's less and less tiny market cap AIM companies without a great story to happen. It's high-risk, high-reward, momentum play. Anyone who follows AIM knows that these tiny market cap shells tend to perform very well in early stages. So like I said, it is quite risky, any cash shell, because it's just hoping that you know, some kind of asset will be reversed into this that will prove popular. So, but like I said, high-risk, high-reward. Do your own research. It's not investment advice. Thanks, Alexius, for suggesting that. And by all means, if you want to suggest a stock, please do go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. See one of my blog posts there. Scroll down until you see a little link saying, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Please click here, fill in the form, and I could feature it on a future podcast. Okay, here are the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Clontarf Energy, up about 138% or 140% a day after they announced they've been awarded a license in, was it Guinea somewhere? Where is it? Equatorial Guinea, that's it. At four, LGO Energy, covered by Malky on the podcast yesterday. At three, Andalas Energy and Power, ADL. At two, always there, Ascent Resources, AST. At one, the most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, doing very well at the moment, Echo Energy, ECHO, also covered by Malky on the podcast yesterday. All right, here are the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at five, Blenheim Natural Resources, BNR Holdings and Company, covered by Nicola Duke on the chart this morning. Check out that podcast. At four, Georgian Mining Corporation, GEO, further drill results from KB's East Gold Zone 2. At three, 88 Energy, that's ATD, Icewine 2 operations update. At two, Premier African Minerals, PREM, Zulu Maiden Lithium and Tantalum Inferred Resource. And number one, most liked RNS, is from Ascent Resources, and it's the operational update from Colin there and his crew. Hopefully we'll get them on soon. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.